Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
From the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Well, not quite. Not quite, Bobby V. There you go. There you go. Take a sip, everybody. Pop's out today taking care of some business, doc appointment, and meeting with a tax guy. I don't mind saying it.
Wasn't tax day yesterday?
Probably had that meeting a few days ago.
Well, we're the Balvanos. You know, he's got an extension. He's fine. But more importantly, he's meeting with Dr. Khan. Routine checkup on colleges. So hopefully
Khan!
Everything's good. Dude, this guy, Khan is a G. Khan's like the greatest doctor ever. He's so good. But I like the Star Trek reference.
Thank you.
That was good. It's the fabulous one, Phil Baker. It's the coach, Mark Lieberman. It's the prodigal son, Nikki V. I'm giving myself a nickname.
I like that name for you.
Tanner. We got to come up with a nickname for Tanner on the ones and twos. We're in for the V Show today, noon to three, right here on ESPN 680 105.7. We appreciate you guys joining us. Neil Knuckles Greenberg, our Tuesday regular from the Washington Post, joins at 140. We're going to replay at some point the Jeff Brohm interview for those of you that might have missed it yesterday that were listening to Bob Herrig put a bow on the Masters with us yesterday. He was on Jim Rome's show yesterday. We'll replay that at some point today. A lot of stuff to get into. Tons of recruiting news on both sides, red, blue, football, basketball. We can touch on all of that. We'd love to hear your texts as well, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. We will definitely get into some pop culture stuff because we have Leibs after all. But I feel like maybe we should start with a little bit of Mark Pope and UK basketball and Leibs. I'm just asking, do you know him? At all.
Not really, no.
I was just wondering if you...
That's a shocker. I got to be honest. Yeah. I feel like you... Not that you're a name dropper on that, but I feel like your web...
I'm a name dropper.
Well, but your web of... your network, if you will. It's pretty vast, yeah. And I was just shocked that you didn't know him. Like, maybe from when he was at Utah Valley or something like that, or if you had crossing paths. That's a shocker to me.
Yeah. No, relationship as far as that goes. It is a little surprising just because of... the Patino connection, but yeah.
Right.
Can't know everybody, Phil.
That's something I want to ask you about. Like, just right off the jump, not even warming up. We're just, you know, right off the bench sprinting.
Go ahead.
So we might pull a muscle here. But is Coach Patino setting up for a farewell tour? Because I'm sports radioing here. I'm over parsing language and everything like that. He sets up the home and home with Mark Pope. Was a major proponent of him getting hired. Even said that he would help raise NIL money for them. RP Theater at its finest. But he does mention, he's like, it'd be nice to be able to say goodbye to BBN in his tweet, talking about the home and home that they've set up with St. John's and UK. Is he doing that, like, to say goodbye? Like, is he setting something up here, or am I just sports radioing too hard?
You're sports radioing.
Okay, well, thank you. Like, sometimes you need to hear that, and it helps when it's from your friends.
I remember when I was recruiting a player back in 2011 or 12, it was a kid that was a sophomore at the time, so I brought him up. He goes, we don't need to be recruiting those guys. If I'm still coaching in 5 years, then there's a problem. I think that was 2011 or 2012, so... That would have made it 2017.
How long do you think he goes for? Is he like a Larry Brown? I mean, like, I always thought he would. I thought he would be coaching until his 80s. But
yeah, he might find the cryo chamber and come back in another 50 years as well. But no, I don't see him stopping anytime.
Right, Hubie Brown, he's 90-ish, and he's still, like, near the game in some capacity. I feel like Rick Pitino is going to be something like that.
I could see, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I could see him coaching for another maybe, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
And then transferring to the broadcast booth, a la Hubie. Very good analogy there, Phil. But UK, I mean, there's a lot of turnover right now. This is what I kind of want to pick both your guys' brains about here. Boogie Flint reopens his commitment. DJ Wagner in the transfer portal. Aaron Bradshaw goes to Ohio State. Sonny Visich follows Cal to Arkansas.
Great job pronouncing his name.
I usually just lean into Big Z.
I just attacked it.
Wow, Nicky.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. You got it. And so I screwed that one up.
Struggled with that one. Uganda.
Uganda. What did I say? I thought you just kind of
you weren't as confident as you were with Big
Z. You know what that was?
You didn't even know her.
That was like figure skating. You know, when they hit the first triple lutz and then they go for the follow up and then they eat it? Yeah, that was basically me. Yeah, I tried to impress the Russian judge and it did not work there. Anyway, he declares for the NBA draft. All these people are turning over. Do you think there's a lot of merit to this idea? Or is this just a reflection of classic coach turnover? But are people committing to Coach Cal more than the University of Kentucky? Because Boogie Flynn leaves, DJ Wagner in the transfer portal. Aaron Bradshaw was probably going to leave regardless, so that one doesn't really, you know, hold a ton of water. But
that was the case before NIL and before the portal. They were players commit to the coaches.
I bet if you asked
school,
yeah, I bet if you asked anybody that was when your time at Louisville, who were they committed to, Louisville or Rick Pitino?
Forget Louisville, yeah, I mean, anywhere,
exactly.
Like, you know, they want to play for that coach because they have a relationship, they have the style of play, they're a fit. The coach knows you. He trusts you. These are still young men. So yeah, it's all about the coach.
So
it's nothing to do with the university.
I think that's interesting though. In this day and age of transfer portal and NIL money, having a coach and building relationships still is important. Whether it be through traditional freshman recruiting or getting guys in the transfer portal, mm-hmm. there's still some weight there. There's still some value.
There's a comfort level. But I'm sure not. Look, it's not every case and every situation, but the money component is going to still be a factor. But if a coach that you're familiar with, you trust, you've played for, or has recruited you, and the families trust you, and they can get the money in the ballpark, yeah, I think that's the way a player is going to go in this current state of college basketball and college athletics, is that the familiarity of a coach and what you trust, yeah, that's huge. They're not going to play.
It's not going away just because there's NIL money and six-figure deals and everything like
that. Well, again, they're not going to just forget that and just go to a coach if they can't put up what the NIL can in another school. But for the most part, I'm sure they can, because that coach knows you, and if that coach wants you to come play for him,
he's going
to
help find that money.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I think that's you got to recalibrate, like, just your mindset if you're a Kentucky fan, right? Because you've been used to just getting guys into the NBA and everything, and you have a Hall of Fame coach that, look, there's going to be a learning curve with that. Like, Mark Pope may be the second coming of John Wooden. You don't know. But Calipari was still a Hall of Fame coach who put guys in the league and took the program. Now, I know the last 4 to 5 years weren't the Kentucky standards, but still took the program to new heights. So there's going to be an adjustment period in terms of the type of player you're going to get. It's going to be more about the name on the front, not the name on the back, but that's still an influx of, it's going to be a different player. Like, it's just, you have to understand that. And that could, look, you lose in the first round of the tournament. That's not what Kentucky's about. They're not about that. So it could look different. Like you see with Connecticut, they've been able to do it without putting a ton of one and dones in there. Now, I know they got NBA players on the roster, but your hope is that with Mark Pope, you're able to find the next Danny Hurley of that same thing with Louisville with that. But I think it is an adjustment that seeing how many guys are committing to the coach and not the gold standard in college basketball.
Right.
And that's something that I think Kentucky fans are trying to cope with right now.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting also, as you touched on it, and maybe this is one of those things where some fresh blood is definitely needed or will be embraced a little bit. But I think, like you said, they're going to have to get used to how the makeup of their team looks. Because in this day and age, I mean, you saw how they broke down the Final Four rosters. how much each team was actually. I mean, with the exception of I forgot which
Purdue.
Team it was. Purdue, yeah, Purdue had a lot of guys that were returning players, but everybody else was. I mean, made up a majority of transfer portal guys. So I think you're going to have that adjustment period of where Cal would always routinely get a top five recruiting class, and they're a top three recruiting class even. Now you're going to have to see maybe, you know, one or two top recruits come, but then the majority of the guys be. And Cal had some varying success in the transfer portal, but he never really had a team that was predominantly made up of transfers. I mean, I'm trying to think of a team that he had the most with that Sevier Wheeler team. Weren't there like three transfers on that team? I'm trying to remember. Like, I should
with Sevier Wheeler. Gosh, I'm trying to think. Was that Lance Ware and all those guys? All that?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, I thought he had a handful of. I'm trying to go.
He had to adjust. To your point, is he had to kind of get out of his frame of thinking of like Julius. He didn't want to do the fifth year guys until he did Julius Mays. And so like you changed with the sport, and you had to do that. And that's what John Calipari had to do while at Kentucky, and he was maybe a little bit stubborn in doing so.
Right.
And I think you're going to see a blend of that in Arkansas now.
But at the same time, I also saw that. I mean, I could understand, not trying to be a coach apologist, but I can understand if you're at the top of the game. With recruiting. I mean, he was routinely getting top three recruiting classes. And I mean, I understand.
That's just based on, because these are the five stars attached to them, and these are freshmen. So, but that's a skewed, to me, it's a skewed model, because that's the young players you cannot have veteran presences on your team.
And especially, I mean, we've seen that. I'm just saying that at the time, I could understand him saying, well, this system isn't, you know, I'm still killing it in this system.
Here. It goes back to the fact that that's what worked for him. And there's always a method to his madness, because even at the NBA draft, when it was a very polarizing comment about this is the best day for Kentucky basketball.
Don't tell Dan Issel that.
Oh, boy.
Because he's going to have... He understands what he's saying, because he wants to continue to get the really talented freshmen. And if they see that he's continuing to put guys in the NBA, that was his model. And as Phil was talking about recalibrating and understanding, coaches are all stubborn in some way. But, yeah, he understands it can't just be freshman talent, because every team is just getting older and using it that way. You got to have... I talked about it last year, just going into Louisville. You know, you needed two or three grown men and guys that understood what it takes to practice drills, a culture, and all those type of things. And you can't win without that, that presence. You can, but how successful will you be in the NCAA tournament where you're playing for your basketball life?
Right.
And that's what you saw even the last few years. You watch the Oakland team. Those are men. And it's a huge difference when there's 22, 23, 24-year-olds going against 18 and 19-year-olds. I don't care how talented you are.
Right. There's the physical development and also the experience factor and everything
that.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. And I mean, I know it's a changing game. I understood why Cal was stubborn to change, just because he was killing it routinely in the traditional recruiting methodology of, you know, getting the five-star recruits. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was, as we talked about, the Final Four, the majority of it was made up of transfer portal players and everything like that. And so it'll be interesting to see how – I also think it'll be interesting to see how Cal maybe adapts to Arkansas, where they are a team that has history, but they're not the gold standard of Kentucky. I would say what Arkansas is a top 15 program all time. I think that's fair to say, right?
Top 10, top 12-ish, I would say.
Maybe even a little bit higher. Yeah, I mean, I said I always err – so
that whole smorgasbord in the middle, like past the tier two, once you get past Louisville, Indiana, Villanova,
right,
you can start. Yeah. Yes. You can argue and disagree on that. And I'm like, that makes sense. So I could grant you your argument on any of those teams in that group underneath the Louisville, Villanovas and Indianas of the world.
But you get my point, Dad. Yeah, it's not quite. What'd you say, Terry? Sorry.
Woo pick silly.
Say, you got to say it with your chest, man.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying like there's somebody
Woo
on there.
Pig suey or whatever it is. I don't know. I want to go there though.
Just that was better.
Have a night.
Maybe
or a
whisper
weekend.
It next time.
You're gonna whisper in the Tyson
sweet.
Mogul's ear or something like
whisper
that.
Whisper sweet. But that was I was gonna
more
get,
of a Walmart guy.
I was gonna get to that. I mean, they seem to have some NIL money. It'll be interesting to see.
Oh, they got NIL money.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Cal adapts now with, you know, the new the new standard and see how much, like Phil was saying, what his roster's made up of, how much of it is still the five-star freshman and how much of it is transfer portal talent.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's going to change. I don't know if he's going to go away from that model that he believes is the way to do it. We'll see.
Well, and you saw on their social media, they put out there all of Kentucky's one and dones part of the graphic. Yeah. And I was like, boy, this feels eerily similar to like what KP and company did with like some of the Louisville graphics that were out there. It's like you had Josh Jamison with like Peyton Pritchard. I was like, what's he doing on the list? And then you had Jason Tatum from Nolan. And then you had Julius Randle and Devin Booker on the Louisville graphic. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to land amongst the Louisville fans with that. But
well, now we know.
Yeah, well, yeah. Boy,
it didn't exactly land. Yeah.
What do you make of this? And Coach, I want to get your opinion on this because it was the Spider-Man meme last week. It was fascinating. I know Mark Pope has had success as a head coach. He's paid his dues, dare I say, and it's not going from an assistant to a head coaching position, but just the trance that was put in on many Kentucky fans that, I mean, I was sitting with Strebel. You saw Strebel at Twin Peaks last Thursday.
Thanks for the bacon again.
Oh, no problem. Shout out to them.
Fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. Great setup, by the way, out there. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. Hope to get back out there again soon. But the trance that Kentucky fans were put in from they weren't happy to they're buying all in now. And I know that's fandom and fanatic in the Dutch. Is that winning the press conference? Is that digging more into the YouTube clips of his offense and defensive schemes and whatnot? But this is the hotbed for the college basketball. It's the Bermuda Triangle, as I like to call it, between Louisville, Kentucky, and Indiana. But what did you make of just that last week and just how we arrived at 19,000-ish at Rupp Arena on Sunday after? It looked like a giant church service.
Yeah, it was so similar to the Louisville situation. It's like there are parallels, everything. Just,
right.
You know, we can tweeting, I can't believe this, with Coach Kelsey and all that kind of stuff, and then the press conference, and then you know, just the recruiting and the energy and everything that you've seen with him, and then you see the same thing with Coach Pope. So, yeah, it's the same type of reality for the fans as far as, okay, they have their idea, you know, however it is, of what they envision as a coach. But both, I think, are really good at what they do. Take out the fact that they were at lower levels. They were successful, and they won the press conference, which to me is, again,
Dunston check-in could win a press conference.
That's the whole thing. If you come with energy and you could, yeah, you got to wow people for 30, 40 minutes, and everybody's so excited.
No, it's a layup, but at the same time, you can slam dunk it. And I feel like both the guys
agreed they did.
Like,
right.
I mean,
but now, okay, the recruiting, which that's part one, and then, okay, then the product on the floor. That's what it comes down to. And it doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter. There's a lot of really good coaches who are out there that can go coach at a higher level. There's tons of them. It's a ridiculous thing. Basketball is basketball. If you have a presence and can coach and can relate to the guys and put your system in, you're fine and recruit. That it doesn't matter where you come from.
It sounded like Hoosiers there. You were measuring the nets and everything.
Jimmy Chitwood?
Well, by the way, just that you mentioned him, for the NIT, I'm pivoting here, but the NIT championship, did you see that he came on the floor? They brought the whole...
I did see that.
And Jimmy, the cool actor who played Jimmy Chitwood was out there. That was fantastic.
The most Indiana, just the Hoosier thing in a nutshell right there. That's what Indiana does. They
amazing.
Pull on the heartstring of memories. That's what they do in those candy stripe pants there and whatnot.
Robbie Avila didn't take that three early in the show.
Boy, you got to let it go. I let it go, but boy...
Indiana, let it go. That's the Last Crusade.
Right, right.
Okay.
Dr. Jones, the you lady. Yeah. Let's see. What else? You like that right there?
You're listen, I know I'm not going to. I had to help Nick out. I'm not going to say, like, you know what that's from.
When
no,
you
I'm not
said
gonna
let
that,
it you know? Go, initially I was thinking Frozen. And then when you said Indiana, it took me a second. But the
Well, I said
turned.
Indiana first, though.
Yeah, I know, but I kind of focused on the let it
it's
go.
The only time in the movie he calls him Indiana.
Oh, yeah. No, that's yeah. Right.
Do you know that he calls him?
Son?
No, Junior. Yeah.
Junior. Oh,
Henry Jones Jr.
Henry Jones Jr. I know the scene. That's the one I've seen the least.
We're leaning towards pop culture, and that could just pull us in, and we could just go.
Look, I'm dipping my retainer right now to get it cleaned off and ready to pop that puppy in, so we can get nerdy if need be.
We have some television recommendations for the
listeners
as well.
We can do that on the other side. I'm totally okay with that.
Now,
by all means.
I know this is getting nerdy, but this is also how I think we have to look in the mirror here as a sports media entity and kind of say, okay, we've never really had to do it because it's not a pro market for the free agency stuff.
Right.
But the stuff that's happening in the transfer portal is crazy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We got to, from the football side of things, now you got the basketball side of things, of just Kentucky fans talking themselves into this guy that was on a mission trip for 2 years. So that, and look, that's what this is. Like, you get hype, you look at some film, you look at a highlight tape, and you talk yourselves into it. It's like, it's going to be okay. With the Louisville football stuff, now Blankenbaker's, what's this? We got Keith Point. Oh, we got a puppy here. Wow.
There's a puppy here?
Yeah. Oh, a therapy dog right now. Oh, wow. Look at this. We need one here at the station. This is why we need cameras here.
Hi, Keith.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Hey, puppy.
Can we pet your dog?
Hey, puppy. Hey, puppy.
Oh,
look at this.
With his little Louisville.
Oh, that puppy fur right there.
Oh, God, I love it. Puppy fur and puppy breath.
What's his name? Oh, tell the masses.
So
boy.
He is Chief. He is Chief. Yep, that's him.
I like it.
Oh, I love it.
A little pup.
Yeah, he was on. He made his Twitter debut yesterday. So if you wanted to see what Chief looks like, he's on my Twitter feed.
And, oh, he's cute. Got a big white spot.
That's just where he shaves.
Oh, okay. That's where he shaves.
Is that a lab?
Chocolate lab?
Black lab.
I don't see color, but thank you. Yes. But yes, no, he's a beautiful
he's
pup.
Beautiful
little
gorgeous.
Pup.
What a cutie pie. How old is he?
8 weeks.
8 weeks old. Yeah. Oh, what a good boy.
Oh, look at that. Coach Lieberman just holding up, giving him kisses and whatnot. Look, this is sports radio in a nutshell right now. Look at this. Oh, boy.
The angriest I saw Pops get at me one time was, remember when we did stuff with the Humane Society?
Yeah.
He was calling for a soundbite, and I got up and left the board to go play with a puppy. And he couldn't get my attention, and so he was throwing a clipboard at the window. He was like, will you come back here? And I was too busy playing with the puppy. So, we love puppies.
We used to have this bit here where it was like the puppy pickups going against the Humane Society against the host, and the puppies would just go up to a toy. So let's say if it were the Packers versus the Bears, there would be a cheese little squeaky toy or a bear squeaky toy. And it was wild how great the dogs did, like compared to the host. It was, I think they beat them on the overall season.
I think so, too. It was an adorable segment. We need to bring it back. Chief's adorable. You could, if he wants to run around, it's fine. Don't tell Drew.
He pees in the sink, so, what's the matter if he pees on the floor?
Don't tell Drew this, but...
He's right there, by the way.
Is he right outside?
It's okay.
Okay, we've all brought our dogs to the studio before.
Yeah.
And my dog...
Here comes Drew.
No, my dog peed. And you can actually still see the scene, like a little stain that was like.
He's your dog, so
So it was Mika brought her in here, and she just marked, did a little mark. I did my best to clean it, but there's still a very, very, very slight stain right outside the control room door. So
he's gonna go home and go to bed. And he's had a full day.
Oh, little
he's
pup. Bring him around more often. Look how everybody's in a good mood. They're not yelling at each other in the back and whatnot. Whenever a puppy's here, look, it's funny what happens
with
that.
You seriously unite the whole this crazy country with puppies and ice cream.
Oh, sure.
I really do think that we could all put our differences aside.
That's a
puppies and ice cream.
Great puppy.
A great puppy.
No one would go into the transfer portal if they had an opportunity to spend time with Chief. Right?
That would solve all of it.
That's the closer.
Absolutely.
Chief's the closer.
There's no NIL number that can rival a nice Chief kiss.
Yeah.
He's all a good boy.
Good to see you.
You too, man. You too, we need to do a little Kirk Herbstreit thing, man, next time.
You.
My McMahon Kroger, former compadre right there. He was cracking criminals, and I was pushing carts out there. So that's what we did.
keeping the parking lot safe.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, what a good puppy.
Oh, that's awesome. Look at that. That's what we need video. Sofro, you hear that? We need Sofro. It is video. But look.
What a cutie. I love dogs. One of the little things about puppies I really love is their little pads.
The puppy pads, yeah. Before they're all rugged.
They're so soft before they get all broken in. They're so cute.
Well, babies have... I have the same thing. But no, puppies are like, puppies, yes. The feet are just so soft.
Yeah, right. Yes. Before they get weathered and
rugged and, yeah, just put your hands in the dirt and paws in the dirt and the run and chase and tennis balls. Man, we need to get dogs around here.
How many – have you brought your dog to the station? Because Pops brought Puck back in the day.
I brought Thor one time when it was really hot out. And, unfortunately, yeah, so
did he go in the studio, too?
No, he was pretty good. I think he maybe have – dropped one in the little lovely landscaping over there outside the studio and whatnot. But no, he marked his territory on the outside, not on the inside.
Well, Mika made a little mark right outside the studio, but I'm trying to think of the other dogs we've had in the studio. I know other dogs have pooped here in the studio, and we've cleaned them. I think maybe one of Brian Hall's dogs might
quit while you're ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I was going to say transfer portal talk and dogs just marking their territory. That's what you get here on the V Show.
I was so mad at her because I had walked her outside beforehand, and she's like the best dog ever. I know everyone says that about their dog, but she really is. Minus the time she tried to eat a baby. That's a story for another time. She really is well behaved. And so, yeah, she just randomly marked right when she came into the studio. So, yeah. Anyway.
You could argue the host threw that here as well, too. So there you go.
Did Nick's dog pee in the sink? Very, like, first text I see over on the UPS Jobs text line. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Puppies over pickleball. I don't know. Pickleball, puppies, and ice cream, I think, are three things that we could use to unite this country.
I gotta get you out to pickle. I gotta get you out.
You gave me that awesome racket. I did. Paddle. I'm sorry, paddle. It's not a racket.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, make sure you.
That'll get your ass kicked if you say. Oh, it will. Yeah, sorry about that. No, I need to get out there. But I'm telling you, I think I could save this country. Like, I'll run on a platform. Yeah, it'll be a little libby, but deal with it. But I'll run with Rummage. So that way we'll balance each other out. And then I'm going to run on a platform of puppies, pickleball, and ice cream. And
how could you lose?
I'm telling you, like, we'll save this planet. Like, I mean, that's me as president.
Four-day work weeks.
Rummage is my vice president.
Can we get your foreign policy after the break?
Well, just everybody, everybody get along.
Just send them ice cream cones. Yeah. Or just ice cream carts.
Sending puppies to North Korea. Just be like, come on. Come on. Do we really got to fight? Come on.
Are there still ice cream trucks?
Yeah, I'll hear them over the suburbs, just around.
North Korea, yeah, we'll send them ice cream. That's fair. Yeah, the puppies will go elsewhere. North Korea gets the ice cream.
Are there, Phil?
I think so. I think I've heard some around the neighborhood. I don't actively look for them.
Ice cream trucks? Mm-hmm. There is an ice cream truck, if it's still around. It showed up on Derby one night.
Well, I'm just saying the ones that go around, though.
I've never seen an ice cream truck like this. It was like a military response vehicle that they had, like, converted into an ice cream truck. And it had the biggest cookie sundae I've ever seen in my life. So, like, imagine a drunk college age Nick after Derby.
It's hard to imagine,
right? I mean, it was there was an aura around this truck when it came by my buddy's house, and I got that cookie sundae. It was, but I'm serious. I've never, a lot of the ice cream trucks look like vans. Or maybe have that traditional ice cream truck look. No, this was like, it looked like a dump truck or military Humvee that they had converted to an ice cream truck. I hope it's still around because it was a very impressive ice cream truck.
Sorry, I gave you a dead fish there. People are sending me just Adolf Rupp and just the roster makeup of the team. And yes, I appreciate it. I see it. I understand what you're doing. We should probably take a break on that note before I cast any more dispersions on that. So I'm going to transfer all these messages that I'm getting from everybody.
Fair enough.
On this.
But V-Show rolls along on the other side. It's Coach Mark Lieberman, the fabulous Phil Baker, Kid Tulio, Tanner Brunemesso on the ones and twos, and the prodigal son, Nicky V. We will keep you rolling on the other side. It's ESPN 680 105.7.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
V-Show continuing on ESPN 680, 105.7. The fabulous Phil Baker, Coach Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano, Tanner Bertomesso on the ones and twos. We're in for Bobby V today. What was that? That was a dope beat. Tanner, what did you pick there?
I'll give you you can guess the rap group. They're from New York, 90s. One of the nicknames for one of the group members is the Funky Diabetic.
I honestly didn't have my headset off for a second.
I was going to go Wu-Tang, then I was going to go what? It was Mos Def's group, Dark Star or whatever. I was going to go that.
Tribe Called Quest. Oh my God.
I was going to get there.
Yeah, I love that group.
They do have some pretty awesome stuff.
Some breaking news, by the way. I mean, just the ripple effect. Just some ripple effect. It's
sound
nothing.
Effect.
It's
sound
not
effect.
Look, it's not the Strebel, Mark Pope sources, Rosting breaking news, but it's the ripple effects of that. So this is something that we're treading water as Tanner is trying to find. Okay.
Nailed it.
Matt Norlander confirming Woj's first report. I love when they do that. I love when they cite the other first reporters on that. So Matt Norlander via Woj, or first they're confirming, Phoenix Suns lead assistant Kevin Young is in line to be the next coach for BYU, sources tell CBS Sports. Process is not yet through, but one source said BYU is ready to put a deal on the table worth approximately $30 million for 7 years. And by the way, I love that his last name is Young for that. Kevin Young right there. The best and second best name to Smith. Brad Smith, BYU, Key and Peele skit right there.
All-time great sketch. That would be a great summer radio topic. The best sports sketches of all time. Because so, I got to say the...
God, we're on the same page. It's not a sketch, but the new SportsCenter commercial came out where the Florida Gators by the microwave.
Oh, yeah.
And the balls dropped over there, and they're like, leave it. Have you seen that one? Oh, it's great.
With John Rom?
Yeah, it's great. It's with John Anderson, and I can't remember who it is, but I was thinking of something along the lines of that, too, the other week. That's so funny that you brought that up. I
missed those, the ESPN.
Well, they have some new ones that are coming out.
Really?
They have some new ones.
That was the new one. They were in the break room, and it was the Florida Gator mascot with a golf ball right next to the Florida Gator, and then they just look at him. It's like, should we pick it up or play it from there? It's like, we'll just drop it.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's good. John Rahm, I forgot who's the caddy. I think it's John Anderson, I think. That reminds me. Did you guys see the Stuart Scott 30 for 30 they're making?
No.
I did, yeah. That's going to come out. Cool's the other side of the pillow. It would be a great name for it, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, what are they going to name?
Booyah?
Booyah? Is that what they're going with? That was probably his most popular catchphrase, but cool is the other side of the pillow is definitely up there.
It was our second baseman.
Who? Owen?
Yes.
Owen came by. Good to see him, yeah.
Sorry. I was so happy to see him, and you throw to him asking who it was, and he doesn't know his name.
No, I almost said John, and then I was like, that is not James.
Sounds like
brother.
You have a great relationship with the guy.
There's a very, very telling difference between James's brother and Owen.
Nick, I really want to rub my eye.
Please don't rub your eye.
Okay.
I'm going on
35 minutes now, so.
Did you see the letter?
Phil just glossed right over
that
one.
Well, it makes me nervous, because what are you battling? Something that's a contact or pink eye? What are we talking about here?
No pink eye.
Have you ever had pink eye?
Like everybody's.
I don't know. Maybe.
Pink eye sucks.
But for some reason, I've never, can't recollect me having it. You know, I figured I would have, but no. Right now, I feel like I have something in my eye. It's been like 3 days. Like a little...
Do you wear contacts?
I don't.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I told Nick earlier, and he told me just stay off it, get some little wash for it.
Yeah.
And we're discussing which is worse, an eye irritation or a toothache.
I've done this Twitter poll before, but I think it is Twitter poll Tuesday. I might put that up there.
Because you got the other side. Well, yeah, I would say your eyes, depending on the threat. Man, that's a good question right there.
I've seen myself have, like, every now and then I get, like, an eyelash that's kind of, like...
Floating around.
Dipping into that. But I looked and didn't see anything.
Interesting.
Which pain is worse? And I'm adding a new...
But there's so many different ranges of eye pain or...
This is not terrible. It's not like I can't sleep or anything. It's just annoying.
Tooth pain...
Yes. And it's not all the time. It's not constant. But because
you're going to make it worse if you keep rubbing it.
And Nick has been growing, just steadfast on just not rubbing it.
See, as somebody that has contacts, that's something I'm hyper aware of. When I'm messing with my eye, it's like, I'm going to mess with my contact.
Right.
And,
I've never put a contact in. So.
So what's worse, eye pain, tooth pain, or groin pain? Well, no, I'm serious. This is like let's
What was the third one?
Groin pain. Like, you're getting kicked in the pills. Like, it sucks, it does, but it doesn't last.
It's temporary.
Right. It's like a 20 for like 10 minutes. Whereas eye pain, chances are, is like an 8 or a 9 for hours. Same with tooth pain.
I'm going to say getting hit in the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsons of the world is probably the...
I don't know.
Like, well, this is...
That's a good way to put it.
I'll take a little kick right now to get this little, little thing
That's what I'm saying.
Resolved.
I've taken a stick to the jewels before, and it sucks. Don't get me wrong. It sucks, but...
But he's saying this is annoying, though. So
when I scratched my cornea, I straight up scratched my cornea, that was one of the top three most painful moments of my life. Like, it was... I was getting nauseous. It hurt so bad. I tried to run the board, and Magic had to, tag in, because I had to go to the eye doctor, and they gave me these numbing drops that were amazing. But they said that if I kept using them, like, and they,
you could go blind.
No, they'll burn a hole in your retina. Like, they're only like, but so you're only supposed to use them.
I don't want something like that.
Very, very sparingly. But I'm telling you, it was instant relief. It was the greatest thing ever. But I'm telling you, my vote goes to eye pain. Like, groin pain sucks, tooth pain terrible, eye pain the worst.
Well, I feel there's two different ranges, though. Like, yours is annoying. Yours was like you could go blind from this.
So yeah, yours is a little more severe. Do you remember, like, when I was a kid, you had the, on the wall, it was almost like the popcorn stuff on your ceiling.
Yeah.
I used to throw, you know,
pencils.
I used to play, well, I would just play, you know, ball and just do, you know, Nerf basketball and that kind of stuff. I would always throw it up, and like two or three times when I was a kid, I would have like some of that get into my eye, and I had to go to a doctor and get it like flushed out.
Really?
Huh.
Yes. And that's kind of like what it feels like. It's taking me back to my childhood.
Well, get the eye wash, seriously.
Yeah, I'm going to get that today.
If nothing else, it'll help moisturize and soothe your eye.
I just want to see Leibs just show up to like a chemistry class or something. Or whatever. And just like, say, remember they had the little sinks for the eye wash and whatever?
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, hey, I'm trying to go to an eye wash place. Where do you go for one of these? And then he just shows up to some random middle school or high school to try to get his eye wash.
Like, I don't know if I could do that myself. That's the thing. I don't know if I can wash my own eye.
No, it's a little off-putting at first, but... can you open your eyes?
God, you'd love to use off-putting, don't you?
Is that my go-to? I didn't realize that was a go-to word, but I think you're right. It is.
No, you do. You do.
That might be a crutch. That might be a crutch word. Can you open your eyes, like, in the pool? Can you, okay, yeah. See, I can't. Like, but if you can handle your eyes in the pool, you can definitely handle this. Like, I mean, it's actually, once you get used to it, it's kind of refreshing a little bit.
The more you know right now.
Yeah, it's just saline in a cup.
Well, I'm gonna go pick some up later today. Thank you.
I hope it flushes it out for you. Like, at the very least, like I said, it'll moisturize your eye.
It's not like there's times I don't even notice it, and then I think if I think about it, then it's kind of like there. So
your eyes don't look red, though. That's the thing. It's like that's kind of weird.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say, whenever you get it out of your eye, it's super satisfying. I've had these weird contacts that keep getting in the corner of my eye, and then when they pop out, it's instant relief.
Last thing I'll say about it is, like, relief. Doesn't bother me at all when I sleep, and I just woke up today, and I was like, dang it, still there.
Still there?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Whenever you can finally get past it, it's like going from dirty contacts or old contacts when you have something in your eye to the new one. You feel like a new woman, dare I say.
I need to get new contacts. I've had these contacts in for 3 months.
All right, hopefully I haven't derailed the show too much.
No, right now, tooth pain, the overwhelming choice.
See, that's what I would go
eye
with.
Eye pain, tooth pain,
I'd go
groin
with that.
Pain.
I've had that, too.
What? Like,
I was in a basketball tournament coaching, and it was just, like, terrible. And I was like, man, I was, like, rushed to a... Like 3 or 4 in the morning. This is like 10, 12, 15 years ago. And it was just like a tooth situation. It was a wisdom tooth. And it just was like, I had to get back home. We were in South Carolina playing in the tournament and got back home and got it taken care of. But yeah, that was brutal. Enough about all my...
No, it's... Look.
Tanner, have you ever had a tooth issue in hockey? Or seen somebody? We were playing, I think, Purdue. And our captain got into it with a kid behind the net, and the kid punched him, and his helmet popped up, and his like cage for the helmet went into his teeth and chipped like 4 or 5 chiclets. And so my dad actually drove him to the emergency dentist because the kid was a law student and was taking the bar exam the next day. So he came in, like, got no sleep, high on Novocaine, and went in and took the bar exam and passed. And the kid is now a JAG officer. Like, kid was Tyler Gattemeyer, absolute G. He was awesome. So yeah, that was we didn't win a whole lot, but we had the most impressive kids on our team. I swear. Lost some chiclets, high on painkillers, passed the bar on no sleep. Strong workout of him. All right, a couple of notes before we get to the top of the hour. Probably should talk about this. We are going to play Coach Jeff Brohm's interview with Jim Rome yesterday. If you missed it, it was on during we were on, obviously, because that's when Brohm's on, Rome's on, I mean. When we were playing Bob Herrig, Brohm was on with Rome. We're going to play that at 1 p.m. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time saying that. Good Lord, Brohm and Rome are just, like, screwing me up. But we'll play that interview in its entirety if you missed it yesterday. We'll do that at 1. But there was some U of L football news today. Running back Penny Boone entering the transfer portal. Jermaine Lole also entering the transfer portal. But the big story of the day was Brandon Marcello, who's come on our airwaves. I want to say, dare I say, is a friend of the station. Kind of erroneously reported that five linemen, I think four defensive linemen, one offensive lineman, were entering the transfer portal, only to have it basically refuted later. We had a source that's close to the situation mention that to rummage that, who was it? Tyler Barron was likely staying. Madden Sanker said it was BS, came out on Twitter. Michael Gonzalez outwardly refuted it on Twitter. Brandon Marcello then posted basically an apology saying that he got some faulty information.
Good for him for owning it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of other fan sites on 3247 Sports were running with the story and everything like that. So, again,
and Drew putting out, too, saying, like, he talked to somebody that said he wasn't happy in where he was in the depth chart either.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's something also to be taken into consideration with that. And I would say Drew's sources are pretty close to the vest.
No, 100%. Yeah. They very much are. But, like, it was one of those things. There might have been a little smoke to this, but there certainly wasn't the fire that everybody was initially reporting. And, I mean, it's, like you said, kudos to Brandon Marcello for kind of, owning up to it, taking some onus on it. But to me, there's so many different avenues you can go. You can go the conspiracy theory route. Like, is this something we're going to start seeing more of? Where fan sites and everything, like, try to, you know, billow the smoke a little bit and try to, make more of a fire. Is this a Louisville versus the world type thing? I don't know. I always try to, I always kind of stay away from those.
You talk
arguments
to Blankenbaker before you come into studio.
Yeah, exactly. I always try to stay away from that a little bit. But I will say, I've been following Ty Spalding's ties on it. And I mean, some of this stuff does look a little bit, weird. And it does seem like there's some negative recruiting going on. A coach, you could definitely talk to this. That's always been an element that's existed. But it definitely seems like there seems to be more of it with this story. And I also kind of wonder, another question, where the source of this came from. Was it an agent? I mean, now there's money involved with NIL. I mean, we've seen, agents do this and coaching searches and whatnot in free agency. I do think that there is some merit that some guys are upset that there's rumblings and everything. The Tyler Barron thing's been going on for a while, even though we got something from Rummage today saying that he was staying put, I believe I heard that right. I don't know, there's just a lot of legs to this. But what were your guys' initial thoughts?
I think this is the new day and age of just having to re-recruit your guys and understanding, like, after spring ball, this is why so many coaches have said they wanted a window in which it's like a contract that you can be here. That some of the negative recruiting that's out there, I know some of the Louisville media folks are battling some of these people saying that people haven't received payments and things like that, and checks are bouncing. And I think it's just like, okay, so you've been here for just spring ball, and what profession do you get all upfront money? Now, I know you would talk about in sports, you get a signing bonus and stuff like that, but I would grant you,
there's guaranteed money.
Exactly.
And everything,
but the way NIL in its infancy, you're still trying to figure out and try to figure out how to make these payments to these folks, okay, if you do X, Y, Z, I think Louisville, quite frankly, in the 502 circle has probably been burnt a little bit when you go back to the Trent Flowers stuff. So they're probably hyper aware of how the money is divvied out and how they receive it to the players, and you have to meet certain requirements or threshold. This guy, and according to Drew and Blake this morning, it's like he just didn't like where he was at on the depth chart. And so that's going to be something out there, and I think
now
it's
when
going
you say this guy, you mean Penny Boone?
Penny Boone, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have been more specific on that. But I think this can correlate to basketball too. Jody Demling just putting out Hadley's visit is complete. He's supposed to make a decision later today, and then he has deleted. This is from Jody, the Omar Bilotto guy from. You got him from Arizona, was supposed to visit U of L, which has now been canceled. That's been out there. At least six more visits this week for Pat Kelsey and staff. That coming out from Jody. But I think you're seeing now, it used to be you don't want to be the final one on these visits, right?
Oh, yeah. You definitely want to be first now.
But now it's like, okay, how much money is it going to take in order to get you to sign today and commit today? And I think that's what you're seeing right now with that. And when guys get on campus with spring ball from the football standpoint, they can just say, I'm good. I'm not happy here. Somebody else will give me my money, what I want for this. And goes back to the tampering stuff. And they're going to find a place in which they get the amount of touches, they get the depth chart, they get guarantees that they want and the money that they're getting there. So I think that's just the new day of college athletics that we all have to try to retrain our minds of saying this doesn't feel normal, but this is the new norm.
Think about with football. So you're going through spring practice. You find out that you're not the starter or whatnot.
Right.
Yeah. You just want to hit the portal. You take basketball. You saw during the NCAA tournament, I guess right after, and that's going on, but just like Huntley Hatfield, NC State has him on campus right before they're going to the Final Four. I'm name dropping, and Kamani Young, my close friend who I work with at FIU, is the associate head coach at Connecticut. And he's like, we're having to deal with the portal as we're making our run to the to the championship game. And as soon as it's over, they've got to start planning their visits and so on. That, to me, is just askew with the whole thing, that you have to deal with that while you're playing. As soon as it's over with, you have to get.
Yeah, there's no offseason.
I remember, hey, after we got to the Final Four, and, just guys, go take 2 weeks and just, decompress and get yourself, energized. I know how draining and taxing that is for the whole season. So from the basketball standpoint, the fact that, these teams who are in the NCAA tournament are just having to get right back to it. And then football, it's open, so you're having spring practice, and you've got to, kind of tread lightly. That hey, we don't really have a depth chart, but maybe they come out, or maybe you're hearing something, and all of a sudden the player who you brought in, no, this is not a fit for me. It's amazing.
So Richard Pitino, your friend, put this out there. Did you see his tweet?
I saw it.
Only 15 more days until I can be mean to my players again. Well done.
That's, he's very good at that kind of stuff, and that's it. That's kind of encapsulates the entire what's going on. It's just, it's wild. And the time after the season. I can't. Yeah, it's look, sports and coaching is the toy department of life,
right?
But you're still, you take what you do seriously, and the amount of energy that's put into coaching for the whole year, and that you have to get right into the portal, and there's just no time for that. It's just they have to figure out a way to change the windows and all that kind of stuff. They have to, but that's asking the NCAA to do that. So,
I mean, I definitely,
it's kind of a moot point.
The point is moo, as Joey would say in France. It's a cow's opinion. It means nothing. I do think that, and this was a good point that I think Chase made, who was over on Middays with Marcus Maven today, saying that, you don't necessarily, need to be critical of the kid for, I mean, he wants to play. He's seen the writing on the wall. So he wants to go find a spot that he can play. He's not where he wants to be on the depth chart. It just is what it is. It's not necessarily a knock on anybody, but I do think there needs to be some controls or something along the lines. I think that for too long the players had no rights. Now it's skewed a little bit too much the other way. I do wonder if there'll ever be anything that the NCAA can do at this point to maybe curtail it just a little bit. But something that Rummage brought up, I think, is a good point. this doesn't mean necessarily something's wrong. This probably is the opposite. This is a reflection of that your team's highly competitive and you have good guys. I mean, Alabama just lost a bunch of guys to the transfer portal. Colorado just lost a bunch of guys to the transfer portal. Georgia just lost a bunch of guys to the transfer portal. It's going to be something that you're going to have to get used to, and it's probably a reflection that something good is happening.
Well, in the
iron sharpening iron.
Yeah, and the rumors that were circulating about Boone's departure of Louisville being due to NIL deficiencies, Yahoo Sports and Rivals' Marshall Levinson is reporting. A source tells me those rumors are not an accurate report of Boone's reentry into the portal. So I know that was something that was being spread around on Twitter. I know not everybody's on Twitter, so not that many people probably even know about that, but there were some screenshots out there that were essentially saying he wasn't giving his payment, and I think people were saying, like, in what world, like we just talked about, are you giving all of your money up front? Yeah, you have right. responsibilities and duties to meet, and it's probably over the course throughout the football season, after spring ball, into that, but this is what Coach just talked about. You need more structure. You need more organization. Right. And that's something that I think people are going to be pointing to. Because, look, I mean, people are ecstatic. Let's not do the revisionist history. When Boone was signing with Louisville, it looked like he led the MAC. This was the next step, 1,400 yards, 15 TDs. People were excited about it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
You're going to have to re-recruit even your current team that's on there. And that's why I think people get frustrated with the current state of name, image, and likeness.
Yeah,
and the transfer portal.
Secure
exactly.
with anything. Yeah, it's sort of like, getting cheated. On. And I mean, it's just right now, it's a very cheat friendly culture in college sports. It's the V Show. It's Coach Mark Lieberman, Phil Baker, Nick Valvano, Tanner Bertomesso on the ones and twos. Tanner, before we get to break, I saw you spraying a lot of Lysol in there. Did you fart or what happened? Like, I couldn't help notice.
I just didn't want to get sick.
So 50 minutes into the show, that's you were sitting, you're patient zero.
I didn't see Lysol was behind me until now. So.
So you just decided to spray everything? Like, I mean, that's fine. I mean,
I
you
always
know.
Do that usually.
Okay, I didn't know that. All right, cool. Well, hopefully it keeps everybody healthy. Well, we will see. All right, we'll take a top of the hour break. We'll play Jeff Brohm's interview with Jim Rome yesterday. Neil Knuckles Greenberg, the Washington Post, will join us at 1:40. You're listening to The V Show on ESPN 680 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.